I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the church. The attendance in the church is quite thin this morning, and we expect it to be thinner in the next few weeks because quite a few of our people are traveling, and a few more will be traveling. But we'll continue the fellowship, and we'll continue to come to worship the Lord. And as we come to the end of the year, let us all remember that this is a very opportune time for us to share the gospel with people, especially as we enter into the Christmas season. A very good time, a very good reason for us to talk about the gospel with people whom we meet. Now this morning, my subject is, what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height of God's love? Now, we try to measure this immeasurable dimension of God. Of course, it is immeasurable, but you see that the Word of God tells us that we ought to try to measure, even if it is so, it is impossible for us to measure. Now, when we renovated this church, one of the longest processes in the renovations of this church was actually the construction of the perimeter fence. After our church was renovated, we realized that we needed to build the perimeter fence. And so we got this fence maker to come to measure and to construct the fence. Yes. Now, first we of course had to apply to the council for permission, and council gave the approval, but it took a long time for the council to do that. But that was to be expected. But what was unexpected was the unduly long time that was taken by the fence maker to construct the fence. It took them more than 2 months. Can you imagine that? It took them more than 2 months to do the fence. Now what was the problem? The problem was with the person who came to measure the perimeter and the required height of the fence. He made a mistake, all right? So when the first batch of this French fence panels came, the tradesman who was trying to erect the fence realized that the measurer had made a mistake, and so the fence panels had to be sent back to the factory. And we took a second delivery, and again, the same thing happened. The fence was incorrectly measured, and it was not until the third delivery that the fence maker got it right. So who was responsible for the mistake? Who was responsible for the error? Of course, it was the person who measured the fence and the perimeter. So I asked myself, why didn't he get it right? Why didn't he get it right? Perhaps he didn't have the experience, or perhaps he lacked the training to do the measuring. Now, if his training as an apprentice or his training on the job was good, then he would have gotten it right the first time. But I guess he never had very, very good training, and therefore he got it all wrong. So today we want to talk about measuring the breadth, the depth, and the height, and the height and the length of God's love. Now, as we said, it is really impossible for us to try to measure the dimension of God's love because it is immeasurable. It is impossible for us to measure the dimension of God's love. But, friends, it is still God's will that we try to measure, try to perceive, try to measure the dimension of God's love. For the Lord says this to the great apostle Paul, who prayed this prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 17 and 19, yes, you see that Paul prayed that the Christians at Ephesus might know the love of God, yes, might know, comprehend what is the breadth, the length and depth and the height of God's love. Now, this was his prayer for them. Look at verse 17. Paul was praying for the Christians at Ephesus. He said, I pray for you that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to perceive with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. My dear friends, it is God's will that we, like the Christians at Ephesus, be able to comprehend and to perceive what is the breadth and length and depth and height of God's love. Because Paul says this, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints, that of course includes us, my dear friends. It is God's will that we be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. Now, the question is, how can we perceive? How can we perceive the dimension of God's love? Now, how can we perceive except we try to measure? Isn't it true? You do not know how great the length and the breadth and depth and the height of God's love except we try to measure. But how can we measure the immeasurable love of God? It is something absolutely impossible for us to measure. But we are still to measure. Yes, we are still to try. Now, we have talked about the training required for the tradesman to measure the fence or the required height of the fence correctly. Likewise, training is required for us to measure the immeasurable love of God. Yes, training is required. Now, and this is what we want to talk about. First of all, the training required to try to measure the immeasurable love of God. That's what we want to talk about, first of all. And then secondly, I'll talk about the measurement of the love of God, or the dimension of the love of God. So I've got two things to talk about this morning. Now let's consider the training required for measuring the immeasurable love of God. Now in the case of the fence maker, his training, I suppose, must be to sharpen his sense of judgment of length, breadth, and height. That must be the training that he gets. And then he has, of course, to draw on his mental ability to learn how to measure. But in the case of the training, our training to measure God's immeasurable love, my dear friends, the training must be for what? The training must be for the strengthening in the inner man. The strengthening in the inner man, the strengthening in the soul. And so Paul says in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So the training must be for the strengthening of the inner man. It involves, my dear friends, also the strengthening of our spiritual understanding. When we talk about strengthening the inner man, of course, we are talking about the strengthening of our spiritual understanding, the strengthening of our faith, the strengthening of our hope, then the strengthening of our love. Yes? Now, we can't draw on our mental ability or physical ability to learn how to measure God's love. We can't do that. We must draw on what? We must draw on the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit to enable us to do the training. Now, measuring God's love is a spiritual activity. It is. It is a spiritual activity. And spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. God's love is a spiritual thing. Yes, it has to be spiritually discerned. Now, we will not know God's love except that we are very, very spiritually discerning, because God's love is a spiritual thing. And friends, we really can't begin to appreciate God's love until we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we are not believers, we have no spiritual understanding. We have no spiritual discernment. So I can talk about God's love. You will not understand if you are not a believer. You don't have spiritual discerning. You have no spiritual understanding at all. You can't understand. Now today, if you are not a believer, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not in your heart, you really, really cannot appreciate how much God loves you. He's not your heavenly Father. And you are not his child. So how can you appreciate his love? Your neighbor's son can't appreciate how much you love your son, because he is not your son. Only your son can appreciate your love for him. Now, friends, if you have no spiritual understanding, if you are not a child of God, my dear friends, you will not be able to appreciate God's love for you. And if we are his children, we will definitely have spiritual understanding. So all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can all say that we have spiritual understanding. But friends, to try to measure God's love, this spiritual understanding has to be strengthened. Then we will be able to measure. You see, the training is to strengthen our spiritual understanding. If we don't, this spiritual understanding is not strengthened, then how can we measure God's love? We can't. And our spiritual understanding can only be strengthened by what? Strengthened by His Word, of course. Yes, if we want our spiritual understanding to be strengthened, we must know His Word. The greater our knowledge of the Word of God, the greater our spiritual understanding will be. So if we know God's Word, then our spiritual understanding will increase. So you say, how can I have greater spiritual understanding? Know His Word. When you know His Word, then your spiritual understanding will increase. And the greater our spiritual understanding, the greater our faith will be. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our spiritual understanding increases if we our knowledge of the Word of God increases. At the same time, when our knowledge of the Word of God increases, our faith will also increase. Our faith will be strengthened. Yes. So we need our faith to be strengthened also to measure God's love. Without faith, when we are tried without faith, let's say we are afflicted with an incurable disease, we might begin to doubt God's love because we do not have faith, and so we doubt God's love. We'll then not be able to measure God's love correctly. Yes, because we have no faith without His love, and without His love, how can we measure His love correctly? We can't. Yes, we'll say, God does not love me. If God loves me, how come He allows me to go through this kind of affliction? Look at other people. How come they are not suffering? How come I'm suffering? Yes. But friends, if our faith is strengthened, we will then know that He truly loves us. Yes. When our faith is strengthened, we know that He loves us. And so when we are afflicted, like Job, who had faith in the one true living God, we will say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. We will say that. And we will understand that when we are chastened by the one true living God, when afflictions come our way, we will be able to say this and have this faith, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth us. Yes, and scourges every son whom we receive. We will understand God sometimes allows affliction to come our way, not because He doesn't love us. He loves us very much, but He chastens us. He allows us to go through this affliction so that we will be drawn closer to Him, because He loves us. Now, having our spiritual understanding strengthened by His Word, our hope will also be strengthened. So first, our spiritual understanding must be strengthened. And our spiritual understanding is strengthened by increased knowledge of His Word. And when our knowledge of His Word is increased, then our faith will also be increased. Then we will be able to try to measure God's love in a more effective way. Now then, having our spiritual understanding strengthened by His Word, our hope in God will also be strengthened to enable us to correctly measure, to have a correct sense of God's love. Now, with spiritual understanding, we will understand. Yes, with spiritual understanding, when we have a greater knowledge of God's Word, we will understand that our hope is based on this truth. What is the truth that is our hope, that our hope is based on? We will understand this truth, that our hope is based on this truth, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So when we have this hope, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, we will then recognize His love. And we know that He shows us His love. How? By working out His purpose in our lives. So that even when we are going through bad days or good days, we know that all these things happen for good. God has a purpose for my life. And the purpose is a good purpose. Yes. And God allows all these things to come into my life because He loves me. Now, if we don't have this hope, surely we will not be able to sense His love at all. We might think that God has absolutely no interest in us. Or worse still, we might think that God is very, very unfair to us. Not only does He not have any interest in me, but God is very unfair to me because we don't have this hope in the Lord. You see, why doesn't this happen to other people? Why does it happen to me? Why has it got to happen to me? And then we begin to think that God is unfair. And all because we do not have the hope in the one true living God. But if our hope is strengthened in the one true living God, then we will have this understanding that He indeed loves us and is working out His purpose in our lives. Now, having our spiritual understanding strengthened through His word, our love also will be strengthened. Yes, the greater understanding we have of the word of God, the more we understand God loves us. Sometimes we do not know how much God loves us. But friends, the reason is because we don't read God's word enough. Now, if we read God's word enough, we know God's word better, we know that He loves us from His word. And the more we love Him, the more we love Him, the more we know that He loves us. And that's true. I'll talk more about it a little later on. Yes, the more we love Him, the more we know He loves us. Now, we might tell ourselves, let us be strengthened in the inner man. Let me be strengthened. Let my faith be strengthened. Let my love be strengthened. Let me love Him better. Let me have greater faith in Him. Let me have greater hope in Him. Can we say this? My dear friends, you can say all these things, but friends, nothing is going to happen. All right, we can say what we want to say, but our spiritual understanding will not be strengthened. Our hope will not be strengthened. Our faith will not be strengthened. Our love will not be strengthened. My dear friends, we can't strengthen ourselves in the inner man by ourselves. And that's the truth. But thank God, nothing is impossible with the one true living God. Thank God that He sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us. And it is the Holy Spirit who strengthens us in the inner man. And it is He who trains us to measure the immeasurable love of God. By ourselves, you can say, let my inner man be strengthened. Our inner man will not be strengthened. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And so, we read in verse 16. All right, verse 16, Paul prayed for the Christians at Ephesus. I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So let us understand, friends, it is the Holy Spirit who does the training. It is the Holy Spirit who strengthens us in the inner man. Next, we read verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, and so forth. Now, the Christians at Ephesus were already believers. Christ was already dwelling in their hearts. So why did Paul have to pray this prayer? I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Why did he have to pray this prayer? Christ was already in their hearts. But why did he pray this prayer that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith? Ah, friends, this was to remind the Ephesians that their focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he prayed this prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I want to remind you that you must be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be given first place. For how can we measure God's love if our focus is not on the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to focus on Him, because Jesus, by His death on the cross of Calvary, shows us how much God loves us. And therefore, we must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to have an understanding of how much God loves us. Now, the training to measure God's love must make us focus on the Lord always. Yes, it must do that. Now, the writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that is what we must be doing all the time. Our training must make us focus on Him. Now, if we are not focused on the Lord, as we said, we will not be able to measure God's love well. Now, it will be easy for the fence maker We talked about the fence maker earlier on, right? It would be easy for the fence maker to make the mistake in measuring as he did. He made a mistake. If he wasn't trained to be very, very disciplined to focus on the fence that he was measuring. Very easy. Yes, if his focus was not on the fence that he was going to measure, my dear friends, it was easy for him to make a mistake. And perhaps that day when he was measuring the perimeter fence, assuming that he had the training to measure, but he wasn't trained to focus very, very well, or didn't have the discipline to focus well, then his mind could have been somewhere else, thinking maybe of the rugby game that he watched the night before, or the cricket game that he watched the night before. And therefore, by so doing, he made that terrible mistake. My dear friends, we must focus on the Lord Jesus Christ in our training of the inner man, so that we will be able to measure or try to measure the dimension of God's love. Now notice, the emphasis on focusing on the Lord is in the heart and not in the mind. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. You see what Paul was saying, I want you to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in your mind, but in your hearts. My dear friends, any knowledge of God's love must be translated from the head to the heart. Some say, I know God loves me. I know God loves me. Do they really know that God loves them? My dear friends, perhaps they know. But they know it in the head, but not in the heart. Because if they really know that God loves them, and they know it in the heart, my dear friends, they will display that knowledge by loving others. Yes, that must happen. If we say that we know God's love, and we know that He loves me, or He knows us, then we must necessarily display that knowledge of His love by loving others. Because in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we read, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. Love comes from God. Now, if we have received God's love, then we must necessarily love one another. In other words, if we really know that God is love, and we have received this love from the one true living God, then we must necessarily love one another. Yes. So, to measure this immeasurable love of God, the training must be directed at the strengthening in the inner man, strengthening in the soul. And only the Holy Spirit is the power to provide the necessary training. We can't do it ourselves. Impossible. The training directs us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this focus is necessary, as we said already. Unless we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have no idea how much God loves us. Because God showed forth His love to us by sending His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, another part of the training to do the measuring of the immeasurable love of God involves not only focusing on the Lord, but the constant practice of loving Him. We must constantly practice loving Him. We must practice loving the Lord so that our sense of His love will be firm, will be established, will be fixed. Yes, Paul says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Yes, our focus must be on the Lord, and we must practice loving Him. Now, when we practice loving Him, then our sense of His love for us will be firm, will be fixed, will be established. Until we practice loving Him, actually we don't quite sense His loving us. But friends, when we practice loving Him, our sense of His loving us will be very, very firm, very, very established. So, how do we train? Yes, how do we practice loving the Lord? Have you asked yourself, or have I asked myself, how do we practice loving the Lord? How? I say the thing for us to do is every morning we must make this pledge of loving Him. Every morning we must, when we wake up, let us pray this prayer. Lord, I want to make this pledge. Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. Have you ever prayed that prayer before? Have you ever made that pledge before? Every morning when we wake up, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. And then you go out into the world. And then we try to show our love for the Lord. And how do we show our love for the Lord? We must show our love for the Lord in a very practical way. We show our love for the Lord by loving other people. Yes, by loving other people. Then at the close of the day, when we come to review our love for the Lord, then we say, Lord, I thank you that today you've enabled me to love you. But Lord, I know that I have not loved you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Isn't it very true? Every evening when we come and we make a review of our love for him, we realize that we've fallen short. And then what do? Every night we fall short and say, oh yeah, Lord, I better give up. Can't love you enough. No, my dear friends, if we know that we do not love the Lord enough, we must renew our love for him. All of us will not be able to love him perfectly. But when we know his love better, we'll love him better. But friends, let's renew our love for him and then go to bed. And then the next morning when we wake up, do the same thing. Wake up and say, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Go to the day. And at the end of the day, make a review. If you have fallen short, confess our sins and renew our love for him. That way, my dear friends, we will practice loving him. And when we practice loving him, our sense of his love for us will be firm, fixed, deep-rooted. Friends, established, fixed, unshakable. Yes, our sense of his love will be like that. Now, I dare say that we do not know how much God loves us till we actually love him. Did you realize that? We really do not know how much he loves us until we really love him. And the more we love him, the more we realize how much he loves us. The prodigal son probably did not know how much his father loved him when he left home. Perhaps he had no love for his father at that time when he left home. But when he had spent all his money and he had lived worse than pigs, as it were, when he repented and returned home, then he saw how much his father had loved him. He didn't see that before. He didn't know that before. But when he repented, when he was a distance from home, what did he see? He saw his father waiting very, very eagerly for him to come back. And we read this in Luke chapter 15. I read for you these few verses. Luke 15 verse 18 to 20, I read for you. This prodigal son said this, I will arise. Now he was still in the, still working and realized how much he had deprived himself of the blessings of his father. He said this, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Friends, he didn't see that before. He didn't see how much his father loved him until he was reconciled to his father. Yes, until then, he didn't realize how much his father loved him. There was this young man who didn't know how much his mother loved him. His mother was willing to sacrifice anything and everything for him. But this young man was very rebellious. He blamed his mother for all his misfortunes in life and even publicly disowned his mother. Then years later, apparently he came under the sound of the gospel. Now, there was a change in him. Whether he was truly converted or not, it is not known. But the fact was this, he was reconciled to his mother. And when he started loving his mother, he realized how much his mother loved him. I dare say it is the same with us, my dear friends, in regards to knowing God's immeasurable love. We know it's not measurable, his love. But friends, we begin to realize how much he loves us when we love him. When we love him, my dear friends, and then when we love him, and then practice loving him, and the more we love him, my dear friends, the more we are going to sense the love of the one true living God for us. The more we are in a position to measure the immeasurable love of God. Now let's talk about perceiving the measurement of God's immeasurable love. My second point, yes, perceiving the measurement or the dimension of God's love, of God's immeasurable love. Look at verse 17 again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So how great is the breadth of God's love? We are to know the breadth of God's love, but how great is the breadth of God's love? Now you will see that it is infinitely great. His love is not just for some people. His love is not just for the Jews, but His love is for the whole world. So the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So His love is for the whole world. That is the breath of His love. Now if His love didn't have that kind of breath, you know, the gospel would have remained in the city of Jerusalem. It would not have gone beyond the city of Jerusalem. The truth was, it went beyond the city of Jerusalem, it went over to all Judea, and then it went northwards to Samaria, and after that it went westward to Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. And then from modern Turkey, the gospel was brought to Europe, and particularly to England. And from England, the gospel came to China. Did you realize that? As far as we are concerned, from England, the gospel came to China. Yes, the love of God, which was so immensely great in breadth, moved the hearts of the missionaries to go to China. And there was this Scottish missionary who was sent by the English Presbyterian Mission to China. And our spiritual forebears in China received the gospel from these Presbyterians that came from England. Yes, they were converted. And then subsequently, the gospel came down to Southeast Asia. And that was where I received the gospel. In Singapore, I received the gospel. And today, I'm bringing the gospel to you. So you see, my dear friends, the width, the breadth of the love of God, it is immensely great, infinitely great. And then His love covers all iniquities. That's how great the breadth of His love is. Yes, it covers all manner of sins. That's why God is able to make this open invitation. If His love does not have this breadth, He can't make this invitation. But the truth is, the breadth of it is infinitely great, so great that He is able to make this invitation. He says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Yes, except that His love had that kind of width, God could not make that kind of invitation. But you see, the breadth of it is infinitely great. And then His love covers all our needs. Not just some needs, but all our needs. That's why we can come to our God with every of our needs. Not just some needs, but all our needs. So we read this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, not just something, you see, but in everything. Everything means everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, His love covers all our needs. Now what about the length of His love? How great is the length of His love? My dear friends, the length of His love is very, very long. As long as eternity. Yes, it was not yesterday or the day we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord started to love us. No, friends. He loves us from when? From eternity past. Even from before the foundation of the world. And we read this in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. If you could just very quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. You will see that He loved us even from eternity past. So you see, that's the length of His love. From eternity past. Ephesians 1 4. According as He has chosen us in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, it means from eternity past, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. So in love he chose us. From when? From eternity past. Then about 2,000 years ago, he showed us his love on the cross of Calvary by sending his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us. Then there was a day in our life he showed us his love by calling us to be his very own. And we answered, and we were saved. You see, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now the question, does he love us today? Every day does he love us? So he loved us from eternity past. 2,000 years ago, he loved us. Christ died for us. There was a time in our life when he called us, he showed us his love. But today does he love us? Of course, my dear friends, he loves us. Today, Christ sits at the right hand of God. He's praying for us, interceding for us, that we might be kept in the most holy faith. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will never let us go. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he shows us his love every day and every day. Now the question is, will he stop loving us? No, friends, he never will stop loving us. And we read this very, very wonderful verse in Revelation 21, verse 4. I read for you. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes in the future. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. You see, God loved us so much that he will not allow any of these sufferings to come upon us. In the future, he will, yes, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Right, no more death means we'll be with him forever and ever in everlasting bliss. That's how much he loves us, and he never stops loving us. Now those who say that we can lose our salvation really do not know the God of the Bible. They do not know the length of God's love, which is everlasting love. The life he offers us is everlasting life. Now if everlasting life can be terminated, then can it be everlasting life? It cannot be. If it's everlasting, it means it must be everlasting. If it can be terminated, then it is not everlasting life. So, my dear friends, he offers us everlasting life out of his everlasting love for us. It doesn't terminate. That is the great length of his love. It is eternal love. Now, how great is his depth, the great depth of his love? Remember, we had sunk way below ground zero. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to stoop very, very low to save us out of this horrible pit of sin and of condemnation. He died, the just for the unjust. He was rich, but for us, he became poor so that we might become rich. Now, let's see how low he stooped in order that he might save us. I read to you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Paul says to the Christians at Philippi, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he was equal with God, and he's equal with God. He didn't think that it was that he was infringing into somebody's territory or somebody's right to regard himself as God, because he's God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took upon him the form of a slave. God took upon him the form of a slave and then died for us on the cross of Calvary, the death of the worst kind of criminal. Yes, only the worst kind of criminals will be crucified in those days. But our Lord was crucified. So you see how low our Lord stooped to love, to show us his love. See the great depth of his love. So friends, what sins are there that cannot be washed away by his precious blood? There is no sin that cannot be washed away by his precious blood. He has stooped so very, very low that any sinner repenting today will find salvation in him. we not thankful, my dear friends, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has sunk so low, stooped so low for our sakes to save us? Then how great is his height, the height of his love? My dear friends, daily by his power, he sits at the right hand of God today, by his power, he's molding us and fashioning us so that, my dear friends, we will be more and more like him. Yes, and now he actually had predestinated that we would conform, that we should conform more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing for us today, praying, keeping us so that we will become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his love, my dear friends, today all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have actually been raised up to sit at the right hand of God with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been raised up to sit in heavenly places with him. Well, of course, physically we are here, but spiritually we have been raised up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord actually is representing us there today. And so we can say that we are seated with him in heavenly places. But one day, physically, bodily, we are going to be raised up and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns, when he returns, the dead in Christ will be raised up from the grave, and then they will be resurrected, and they will be with the Lord in the air. And those of us who are alive at that time, my dear friends, we would be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we be like him, my dear friends. We will see him as he is when we see him face to face. That will be the great climax of his love for us. Yes, because what did he come here for? He came to this earth to save us, but the salvation is not complete yet. We are saved today, but the salvation is not complete yet. But one day, this salvation will be completed when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. So friends, do you know the length, the breadth, and the depth, and the height of God's love? Now you can't even begin to tell until you have begun the training that we talked about earlier on. The training for what? The training for the strengthening of the inner man, for the strengthening of our spiritual understanding, for the strengthening of our faith, our hope, and our love. Yes? For us to be strengthened, my dear friends, for us to be strengthened in the inner man must be made alive first of all. My dear friends, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, your inner man is not alive. Your inner man is dead. Your inner man must be made alive first of all. And how can the inner man be made alive? The inner man can be made alive only if you come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you repent from your sins, trust him as Lord and Savior, then this inner man will be made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he's alive, then you can begin the training for the strengthening of the inner man. You can begin the training for your spiritual understanding to be strengthened, your faith in him to be strengthened, your hope in the Lord to be strengthened, and your love for him to be strengthened. And it is only when the inner man is alive that we are in the position to measure the dimension of God's love. Now this training, as we said, directed by God's mighty Holy Spirit, strengthens the inner man in his spiritual understanding, in his faith, in his hope, and his love. And only the Holy Spirit is the source of power to strengthen the inner man. We can't strengthen the inner man ourselves. Only the Holy Spirit is able to do that. And this training makes us focus on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be that way. The Holy Spirit will cause us to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because except that we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be able to perceive God's love. And this training involves actually practicing our love for the Lord. And the more we love the Lord, the more we know how much he loves us. And it is with this training from the Lord, by God's mighty Holy Spirit, that we will be able to try to measure the dimension of God's love. His breadth, his width, his depth, and his height. Now, so what is the dimension of his love? I trust this hymn that we're going to sing at the close of this worship service will help us to have a sense of the dimension of his love. I'd like us to look at this hymn now. It is presented in the insert that is given to you today. The love of God. Now let me read you the verses, because many a time when we sing, we don't understand what we sing. All right, let me read you the verses. The love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. You see how high God's love is. And reaches to the lowest hell. That's how deep God's love is. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The guilty pair, I suppose, would be referring to the two thieves on the cross. One repented and came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Chorus. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. In other words, the saints and angels can be singing the praises concerning God's love. But dear friends, all these praises that they can continue to sing for eternity will not be enough to give enough praises to God's love. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Then the last verse, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? In other words, if all the ocean of the world is full of ink, nothing but ink, and then the sky is just a huge paper for us to write on, okay? Were every stalk on earth a quill, every stem of a plant is like a pen for us to write with, and every man a scribe. If you were a scribe, I a scribe, everyone a writer. All of us are writers. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. In other words, if you try to write and to describe God's love, the ink in the ocean will dry up. Not enough ink, in other words, to talk about God's love. Nor could the scrolls contain those stretched from sky to sky. The scroll spread out in the sky will not be enough for us to write God's love on. That is how great God's love is. Now let's sing this song in closing. The love of God. Let's rise.
The love is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and measures to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall be forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, where men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains calm, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels. Oh, love of God.
Could we within the ocean feel and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the hope, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall be evermore endure, the saints and angels' song. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship and communion of God's mighty Holy Spirit be with each one of us until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Amen.